talk now about how to make time for informal classroom visits. Now, if your school is currently operating face-to-face and you are able to physically get into classrooms, then in this section, the advice that I give you should be applicable right away. If your school is virtual at the moment, you may have to use this advice further out in the future. And in the next section, we'll talk about making time for those one-on-one phone calls that are the substitute for those face-to-face classroom observations. So, when you are able to get into classrooms in person, how can you make time for those visits? How can you make it a consistent reality that you're getting into classrooms 3 times a day, every day? Everybody wants to do this as an instructional leader. Everybody believes that getting into classrooms matters, but often our conventional wisdom steers us wrong when it comes to how to actually set aside that time. The conventional wisdom says that if something matters to you, if it's a priority, you should block off time and do first things first and just stick with that big block of time, ideally probably first thing in the morning, or maybe you have an afternoon block, but most instructional leaders try to block off a huge block of time in the morning for getting into classrooms. And it looks something like this on the calendar, right? You might say to yourself, okay, middle of the morning every day, I'm just going to get into classrooms. I'm not going to let anything interrupt me. I'm going to be consistent about that. And every day, I'm just going to make time for instructional leadership. Well, assuming that that will work, that that will go off without a hitch, is kind of like planning a family road trip and saying, okay, the destination is 19 hours away so that we can get there in 19 hours, no problem. Well, if you don't build in any time for pit stops and for lunch and for all the things that slow you down on the journey to your destination, you are not going to get there when you think you will. And I hear from hundreds and hundreds of instructional leaders who've been trying for years to get into classrooms. And one of the first problems that is slowing them down is that they're not being realistic about that giant block of time that they're carving out on their calendar. And that calendar block, that preserved time on the calendar, becomes a target for Murphy's Law, right? Murphy's Law is the old adage that says, if anything can go wrong, it will. And chances are it will go wrong during your block for classroom visits that you've set aside on your calendar. That's when the fire department's gonna come. That's when an angry parent's going to show up. That's when a meeting is going to get called, and you're going to completely miss that block of time, not just once in a while, but regularly. Almost every day, you will face some sort of interruption to that supposedly sacrosanct block of time for classroom observations. So we've gotta assume that we're going to get interrupted, because to plan not to get interrupted is to plan to fail. We have to know what is going to come our way. And if we're going to get into classrooms 3 times a day, we're going to have to build in some extra time slots to account for those likely interruptions. So we're going to set ourselves up for success in a way that builds in some resilience, right? So that if we do get interrupted, as we know we will, we can still make it into 3 classrooms a day. And typically that takes 5 or 6 different time slots, right? You don't want just one big chunk of time, and then if anything happens during that time, well, that was your one time for the day, so the rest of the day is ruined when it comes to getting into classrooms, right? We don't want to take that kind of fragile approach. Instead, we want to set aside multiple short time slots. So we want to build in some redundancy so that if we don't make that first time slot, we've got, 4 or 5 more to allow us to catch up. And what we want to do as much as possible is we want to make those classroom visit times adjacent to times when we're already out of the office, right? See, one of the things I don't like about allocating that huge block of uninterrupted time in the morning is if you have a huge block of uninterrupted time, you should use that to get work done. Right? If you have teacher evaluations to write and people will leave you alone for 2 hours, well, use that time. Do not interrupt yourself just to get into classrooms. Instead, you want to take advantage of those natural breaks when you're already getting out of the office. For example, if you're on your way to lunch duty, you can leave a few minutes early and visit a classroom on the way. If you're on your way back from lunch duty, you can stop by a couple of classrooms and get some observations or some walkthroughs done that way. So take advantage of those times when you're already out of your chair, you're already out of the office, people don't even know where you are, they can't flag you down, and you can get some of those observations done very, very easily, much more easily than you would if you had to interrupt yourself while you're sitting at your desk getting work done. So build those in throughout the day, build in more time slots that you need, but don't worry about scheduling individual specific teachers for specific time slots. Like, don't go to your calendar and say, okay, at 11:15, I'm gonna go see Mrs. Smith. If you do that, it's too much trouble, it's too much work, and what's gonna happen is that Mrs. Smith, Murphy's Law says that Mrs. Smith is not gonna be available at 11:15. She's gonna be, in the office giving a test to a student, or like, there's gonna be something that comes up. So don't plan it that tightly so that you have a specific time, Friday morning, I'm gonna go see Mrs. Johnson, build in some flexibility for yourself. So today, all you need to know is, when are your time slots and who needs to be seen today? And the best way to do that, that I have encountered, is to keep track with note cards. So you need some information about when each teacher is available and what they're teaching at different times. And you need to have some time set aside. And then you can flexibly use those two pieces of information to get into classrooms as you need to. So every day, you take these note cards, and these are available from our website, or we can send you some if you would like, just let me know. And you want to take those note cards, keep a stack on your desk, or have your secretary keep a stack of those note cards, and you want to take the top three cards. And those are the teachers that you are going to visit today. You do not have to decide in advance what specific time you're going to visit that teacher. Build in some room for serendipity. But you're going to look at that teacher's schedule and say, okay, when is this person free? When can I stop by and see them? And what subjects have I already observed for that teacher? For example, if you're an elementary instructional leader, you might have kind of a minute-by-minute schedule written out for each teacher, because you don't have periods, you have different subjects taught at all different odd times, and you want to be specific about when that class is in the room and what they're typically doing at that time. And then when you visit, you want to write down the date of your visit. So you can see by reading from 9 to 10 a.m., I had visits marked on September 4th and September 16th. And I don't want to always visit during reading, so I might pick up that card on October 2nd and say, okay, it's time to visit Miss Martinez again. And I know Miss Martinez has lunch from 11:50 to 12:20, because that's on my card. I know that her prep time is from 1:30 to 2:10, so I can't go during that time. But I've already been by twice during reading, and I've never seen any other subjects. So instead of going at 9 o'clock today, when I have some time marked off, I'm actually gonna make a point of coming later and seeing social studies. So if you swing by during social studies, you can give your feedback, have your conversation, and then write the date on the note card documenting that you were there for social studies on October 2nd. If you are a secondary instructional leader and you have a period schedule, you'll want to, you don't need to worry about the times probably because you have those memorized, but you'll want to note what the teacher teaches during each period and when their prep period is, so that you can kind of rotate your visits in the same way. But you want to be flexible about this. You want to look at those cards in the morning, say, okay, who am I visiting today? What subject do I want to see? What time would work best? And then flexibly look at your time slots that you've allocated, knowing that you're going to get interrupted some of the time. You're not going to be able to hit 100% of those, but you still want to get around to those three teachers that day. When you do, you document that, you put that on the note card, and then those note cards go back on the bottom of the stack, and you repeat the process tomorrow with the three cards on top of the stack. And by taking cards off the top of the stack every day and putting them on the bottom after you observe those teachers, you will keep that consistent rotation. If you miss someone for whatever reason, maybe they're out sick today, put their card on top of the stack so that you try again tomorrow until you get to them, and then you keep up that same rotation from one cycle to the next. So that is how you can use the note cards to plan your visits flexibly, to build in some resilience and make sure that you get done what you need to every day. Go ahead and pull out your journal and reflect on these two questions in writing now. First of all, how many time slots do you realistically need to make it into classrooms three times a day? If you never get interrupted, three times might be enough. Most people need 4, 5, 6 time slots to make it into classrooms three times. If you are in very high demand, if people are constantly calling you because they need urgent things, you might need 9 time slots. So just plan realistically for your situation. Second, what are the best specific times for you to get into classrooms? Look at your schedule, look at when you're already out of the office for duty or when you have standing meetings, things like that, and actually mark those times for classroom visits on your calendar. When you've done that, you're ready to move on to the next section.